And this is what human-centered AI is all about, really helping to build that collaboration between the technology and the human. Their human expertise plays a very, very critical role, and that we need them to put human eyes on it and review it. We need to help guide them on how they can best get started and interact with AI to guide those behaviors.
Welcome to another episode of Tech Bytes. I'm Bobby Brill, your host for this episode. But more importantly, that is Jessa Anderson, manager of AI machine learning and UX research here at ServiceNow. And Jessa has spent over a decade in researching human behavior and motivation, the backbone of user experience. And in this episode of the podcast, we will talk about how UX research and user experience tackle just how AI is being used. So Jessa, UX research is a giant amount of exciting, important, groundbreaking thought, and now you add AI, which is giant and exciting and groundbreaking. How do you meld those two exciting things together?
In a giant, groundbreaking way. Yes. No, we just take it, you know, one step at a time, but it is a really exciting area to be in. Currently, though, what we can do is rely on a lot of existing UX research tools and skills we already have and apply it to this newer field. You want to really understand what that user experience is and what their needs, unmet needs are, pain points, blockers, and forecast even future needs. UX researchers are often very inquisitive and empathetic, so we'll be curious and ask questions. One of the big things we like to do is when we come to coming up with a generative AI experience, we want to start with the why. Are we solving a real problem for real people? Is it something that's actually needed?
Right. That's the bigger question, because UX, and correct me if I'm wrong, is how we do something, how we utilize something. It's everything from how a button works on a washing machine to an interface, correct?
Yeah, exactly. So any type of experience, how you're using it and interacting with it. We want to make sure it's tasks and things that actually will help benefit humans.
How does that question get asked deeper when you were talking about being curious and learning about Gen AI?
So I think there's two parts to that. One is the learning about generative AI is that we really encourage the UX researchers who are coming on is to learn about the technology and the capabilities. AI has been around for a long, long time, many decades. It's not net new in that sense. Generative AI is a different capability. We've seen it kind of hit a tipping point, right? When ChatGPT exploded onto the scene, I think hit a bit of a tipping point where suddenly everyone was talking about generative AI. But the reality is when we currently are talking to most of our users, especially the end users of the technology, they don't differentiate between these different AI capabilities. They just wanted to solve a real problem for them or work or help them work better or answer their question faster, whatever their use case is, right? They just care that it's getting done better and faster.
Well, that makes sense, because a lot of this user experience is the end user, not the technical person, not the engineer, for lack of a better term, who's making this giant machine work. It's the person at the other end in HR or customer service that has the button that says AI on it. How is this going to make the job better for me? How am I going to serve my customer better now? Correct?
Yeah, that's why personas are so important in user experience research always. So ServiceNow, we're in a unique position because yes, there are those folks you talked about, more of the data scientists, machine learning engineers, et cetera, who have deep expertise in this space. However, we also have more of these technical personas who have to implement our AI solutions we give them. So that might be at our customers' companies, like an admin role. So they don't actually have that deep AI expertise and knowledge. They have great ServiceNow knowledge that are technical, but not machine learning engineers. That is a persona where when we come to them, we have to help them be enabled and empowered to implement, to set up, to configure, to deploy, to monitor and maintain these AI solutions in a simple, empowering way where they're really put at the center. And then there's the one you brought up, kind of the person who's consuming the generative AI in their day-to-day.
Well, that makes sense, because you had mentioned that, you know, we have the expertise in our service in ServiceNow, and our customers, they're going to have a very heavy duty knowledge of their customers. They understand that even better. And we're building these tools to leapfrog and build this even better. Would that be the right way of looking at it?
So basically, our customers are managing and maintaining their ServiceNow platform, right? They're the ones who then implement different solutions. One of those would be generative AI. So ServiceNow is our Now Assist, right? Let's say they wanted to bring the case summarization feature to go into their agent. We deliver it and we then give it to their admin who has to set up and enable it. So there's certain considerations we bring in for that user who's setting up and configuring the AI solution. And there's a level of transparency and explainability where we help them peer into the black box a little bit to help them know what they're doing and feel in control and have appropriate guardrails set up. But those are very different considerations than what we would bring to, let's say, the agent who's using summarization. They don't need to necessarily know the same amount of information and be able to understand on the back end what was happening to the degree that admins may need a little bit more visibility into that. But the agent definitely has their own needs. For example, they would need to know that came from AI, right? Not another human, because they're going to look at it potentially in a different way. They need to be able to give it explicit feedback. So beyond like a thumbs up or thumbs down, but can they edit it or correct it if it was wrong? They need to also potentially have certain guardrails in place of when it's a good time to use it, when it isn't. Things like this are things that we can bring into the experience, but the way we bring it in is going to vary based on who that persona is and what their need is. So another persona we could talk about is the requester. Or let's say it's like you or me, it's an employee who goes into a portal and is like, oh, I need a new laptop. I spilled coffee all over mine.
Much more common than you think.
It is so much more common than you think. And so that person coming in can use AI to get that pretty much automated and completed for them. But what we would bring in for them to know is like, hey, AI, maybe they search new laptop. And then AI would be behind the scenes helping to already know what their current laptop is, could prompt them with like, hey, what happened, right? And maybe give them a few use cases. So there's a lot of different ways they could interact with AI too. That's different than the agent who's using it in their day-to-day workflow for long periods of time.
That makes a lot more sense, where it's time-consuming and already answered the right questions and already essentially solved this solution. It's just ticking the boxes, so to speak.
Exactly. So okay. These are all nuances we bring in. But ultimately, what we do across it all is promote and elevate the human and the human experience in it.
Okay. Well, I want to ask you more about personas, because that's always the secret sauce, I think, when it comes to UX. What are some questions that you think are important that matter when building out personas?
Absolutely. So the first is to help differentiate between those different personas. So is my user ultimately responsible to set up or configure an AI solution? Or is my user expected to use these AI generated outputs in their daily work? So when they're in their daily work, we have to think about it in a different way versus, is this someone who will come very infrequently to interact with the AI generated output?
And that sounds like a big one. If they're going to use it every day, they've learned the nuance. And if they're not using it every day, it's like, do I care that it's AI or not?
Yes, we have to help them. If it's in their day-to-day work, right? Let's say it's an agent working on cases, and let's say it applies for 80% of the cases they work on, they could use AI to help improve their productivity. And that would add value and save time for them. So they have to learn how to best use it, when to best use it, and also be able to ensure that it's giving them value and they trust it. So it's a really important one that we get that right, because they have to keep using it. So if you think about like us being maybe consumers, if there's an app that's using AI and you don't like what it's doing, you can exit that app or not use it, or you use it for 5 minutes of the day versus if you're using it for 7 or 8 hours of your day. That experience is really going to become critical to get right and empower them and make sure they're getting value from it. I'm not saying for requesters, it's not important to get it right, or for people who are doing it more frequently. That can also be a really critical one to get right because it's a bit more make or break. You got to get right on the first time or they may not try it. So maybe they come to a portal and there's this new AI thing that pops up for them and says, hey, let me try help you. And so they're like, all right, I was going to come here and call a human agent, but I'll try this because it came up. So getting it right that time can be really important too, because if we don't, then they won't try it again.
That's almost like an inherent marketing problem, but really not. It's usability as well.
It absolutely is usability and making sure that we are helping people really have a good understanding of the capabilities and kind of competencies of the AI. So they know it'll help them solve a problem, when to use it, and build that positive experience.
That kind of brings up one of those underlying questions. And I know you have a different way of looking at this from the UX perspective, but what happens when AI is wrong? Is that good or is that bad? And I know we can go deep on this, but I know you've got a different spin on it.
Yes, this is my spiel. So one of the other big questions you want to ask, no matter who your persona is, are what are the risks or consequences if the AI is wrong? And it can be wrong in a variety of ways. And the reason, before I go into those nuances, the reason it's so important to think about this is there might be some industry, for example, specific ones in healthcare, let's say, where that risk, if something is wrong, may be much higher. So we're seeing that AI is assisting in helping to interpret, for example, x-rays. So that may be a use case where if it's wrong, if it misses a tumor or cancer, right? The risk and consequence of that is much, much greater perhaps than if, let's say, our agent case example, where it maybe just missed one part of a case note.
But being wrong, is that helpful?
I don't know if you can answer it in terms of is it helpful or unhelpful. And what people need to understand is have realistic expectations of how AI performs in this current state. And the reality is right now, generative AI is in a very early stage and it can be inaccurate. More broadly, AI as a whole, the umbrella term of AI. So looking back over decades, classic AI as well, machine learning, right, is not always correct. It's probabilistic. But with generative AI, which still falls in that probabilistic bucket, the concept of what's accurate or inaccurate gets a lot harder. And that's because humans often, we like to think like, hey, it's just right or wrong. Like, we were just having that conversation. What happens if AI is wrong? But in reality, when we're thinking about generated content, there's a huge range of ways it can be wrong. So one of the extremes are hallucinations, where it can literally just make up information or responses that may not accurately represent reality. And there's some real risks with that, because it can often portray it in a really confident way. So we've probably seen news and headlines about this. I know I saw, it was like a big topic of discussion, the one about that lawyer who went and presented, right?
Right.
And the precedents he was using was made up. He had asked like ChatGPT or to help him with his case, and it made up the prior cases.
Right. It sounds good. If it sounds legalese, it's legalese, and therefore it's legal.
Right. So there's a real risk of that. And again, where these risks are and the consequences of them matter too, to think about for your persona, industry, use case, et cetera. However, it can also just have some missing information. So if we're talking about more like summarizing, let's say we had like a long chat or something and we wanted to summarize for us, a typed out chat, everything we talked about, it may not include information that's important. It may just leave it out to be missing information that we needed. It also could misinterpret information. So an example with that is an HR use case. And let's say someone's putting in for parental leave and the AI summarizes what they put in, but it misinterpreted it and put them as the non-birthing parent, but they were actually the birthing parent. And there's a lot of different leave and benefits with that, right? So it misinterpreted it. That's why it's so critical to have what's often referred to as human in the loop, making sure there's always a human in there to review the output and that they, again, know that they need to look for things that could be inaccurate in some way or imperfect or missing information in some way.
From a UX perspective, what are things that researchers can contribute to make these experiences better?
Yeah, great question. A lot of things that we already know from just years of work with AI and human-centered AI that we can look to do and bring in. Some of these factors, like, are some of the terms I brought up, like transparency, feedback, contestability, explainability, guardrails, you know, making sure there's human oversight and human in the loop. What these exactly look like can vary, again, based on use case, persona, et cetera. And you can dive in really deep if you want into, because transparency alone can be broken out into numerous different things. But the point is, it's always about building that trust and elevating the human. And so some of the things that we can do when we think about that is, right now, at least, we know that setting the expectations is critical. Most people are coming in not understanding that the AI can be imperfect. And so we need to help them know that it can be imperfect, and that, in fact, their human expertise plays a very, very critical role, and that we need them to put human eyes on it and review it. We need to help guide them on how they can best get started and interact with AI to guide those behaviors and let them know, this is when you should use it. These are the good times, for example, to use it. This is what the machine does really well as tasks to help you, versus this is something that, you know, you'll be better at as a human. Because the reality is, and this is what human-centered AI is all about too, is really helping to become collaborative and build that collaboration between the technology and the human. Another thing to do is help them get value from it. So maybe when they just get started, they're not seeing as much value. But over time, as they learn how to interact with the AI, and as the AI is improving and the technology is improving, they may get more value from it as well.
Right. That's the one I think we've all seen, as everyone's dabbled with ChatGPT and some of those other ones. It's like, oh, it's not as scary. Or, oh, I see where I actually need to prepare a little bit differently. And I need to actually think about what I'm doing and not just bang on the keyboard and hope for amazing answers. I actually have to put a little forethought and thinking into this.
Yeah, I think that's a really excellent point, is that exact one, right? I think sometimes when people come to, let's say, ChatGPT, they bring in their existing mental model, which might be more using traditional searches or traditional chat. So it's keywords and short, right? But really what we're finding is that actually putting in a prompt, a well thought out prompt, will actually deliver better results. And there's some awesome studies done by like the Nielsen Norman group and everything too, that are looking at the differences in prompting and how people learn to do that. Because some people, for example, prefer to start with the smaller ones and build off of it. But ultimately that takes them more time versus just having a well thought out prompt. And you'll see websites dedicated to helping build prompts and provide prompts as well. But that's a really good example of how we have to help set those expectations and guide people to know how to interact with AI to get value from it.
So that's a key thing for usability research is, how do you, and this might be, you know, something for you we talk about later on, a whole nother episode, getting people to be better at their own usability or their own thinking? Is that the right way of describing it? Or is that a real question?
It's definitely a real question. I think that's what we kind of think of as how we build their new mental model. This is a different way of them interacting potentially with AI, with machines, with technology than they're used to. So people come in with an existing mental model that may not best align. Again, they might be used to a traditional, let's say, Google search, where you don't want to put in a long sentence, right? Because it's just not going to give you the results you need. Giving a few words might be better. So if you wanted to, let's say, to know the score of the Lakers' most recent game and who was the best player. But if you go to Google, you can't type that in. You have to just type in like Lakers game score and then probably have to go click, find right a breakdown of the players. So that's not very efficient. But if you use generative AI to do it, you could give your full prompt, like the most recent Lakers game, I want to see the score and who the top scoring player was from both teams. And you can get that result in a single sentence. So it can really help you save time. But you need to learn that that's how you should be asking the question and not come in and just say Lakers last score.
But going forward, transparency seems to be the key. What is your feeling and your thinking when it comes to transparency with AI?
It, again, falls into the broader human-centered AI and the principles, how we elevate the human and build trust. And so transparency just across the board, regardless of who your persona is absolutely critical. So at minimum, our personal approach is that users need to at least know they're interacting with AI and not a human. That's going to help already start to set more of the expectations for them. We need to make sure, especially in this early stage, that we are encouraging and enabling feedback from the users across that experience, because it's going to make the technology better and ensure that we're getting that human oversight and human transparency. In terms of usability, we have to balance, of course, when that fits in, how to do that, et cetera. But at least give the option for that feedback and testability. Another part is when you work with your teams, because all this happens as a team. We would never just be doing UX research alone without an amazing cross-functional giant team. So if you see a risk, you need to speak up. I think for people in UX to speak up and be the voice of the user and show those different things that other folks may not be thinking about or may not have put that lens on yet, because we can all be so in the weeds and that we forget who maybe our end user is and that they may not be aware of certain things.
So there you have it, a great starting point or a primer for getting the best experience when using AI. If you've enjoyed this episode, please hit subscribe on whatever podcast platform you're listening on so you never miss an episode. And if you have any questions on working with the ServiceNow platform, head over to docs.servicenow.com or head over to YouTube and check out the ServiceNow community channel. Thanks for listening.